WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number three of the program here on Monday morning. And coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to be joined by New Bedford City Council President Shane Burgo. And we'll take your phone calls at 508-996-0500. We'll take your app chat messages and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. We will talk with Council President Burgo about the meetings that went on last week. And, of course, no meetings this week, but we'll talk with him about the things that happened last week. And also a reminder that this hour will also be your first Money Talks cash code of the day. It's coming up later on in the hour. Can't tell you exactly when, but those of you who have been listening have a rough idea of when to tune in for that. And we're going to have a code for you every hour through the 5 p.m. hour every day this week. But this is the last week for Money Talks. So keep listening. Keep entering in those codes. And don't forget, this Thursday will be $10,000 Thursday. So how nice would it be to come away with 10 grand to start your summer, right? Even $1,000 would be a great way to start your summer. And it's all made possible when, you know, you have the opportunity to win money here with Money Talks on WBSM, brought to you by Long Moving and Storage. And as I mentioned, we've got some other contests coming your way as well, including this week, we're going to be giving away tickets to Boston Calling, the hugely successful festival that happens at Harvard every year. And we'll have more details for you on that later on in the week. But for right now, just get ready for that Money Talks code coming up later on in this hour. And Council President Burgo is making his way into the studio now, and we will talk with him about all the things going on in the city with the council over the last week. And don't forget, we'll take your calls, 508-996-0500. That's the beauty of radio. You have the opportunity to talk to your council president. You have the opportunity to talk to your mayor. Plus all the other councilors that come on with Chris throughout the course of the week. So you get to actually be involved in direct conversations with them. And one of the other great things about it, too, is it's also available as a podcast. So if you miss out on it, you can always catch it later on. Or maybe if you did call in with a question and you want to, you know, tell everybody you were on the radio, you can do that, too. You get it from WBSM.com, from the WBSM app, or wherever your podcasts come from. So whether you use Spotify, whether you use Amazon Podcasts, Amazon Music, whether you use Apple Podcasts, whether you use Google Podcasts, whatever it may be, you'll find our WBSM podcast there. And that will include our new Saturday lineup, because launching this Saturday morning, 7 a.m., will be the Paul Santos Show. Paul will be here filling in for me tomorrow morning so he can tell you all about what he has planned for Saturday morning. But he's going to be on Saturdays from 7 to 9. Then we'll have Ken Pittman from 9 to noon, just as he is now. Then we'll have Money Matters at noon, just as it is now. And then at 1 o'clock, we'll have Brian's Beat. Actually, it'll be Freedom Fools. Brian's switching his shows around. So on a nightly basis, you will have Brian's Beat. And on Saturdays, you'll have Freedom Fools. What does it matter to you which show it is? It doesn't matter. You've got Brian Thomas here either way. And having him here on Saturday afternoons with an extra hour for his program, because he'll be on from 1 to 4. So you'll be able to call in and talk with Brian live every Saturday on Freedom Fools on Saturday afternoons. And of course, we'll have podcasts available of those shows if you don't get to listen to them live. But very excited to be able to have more local talk, more local programming for you, more discussion, especially this time of year when you're going to be out mowing the lawn or, you know, doing some yard work or driving around or taking road trips. You can take us with you on the WBSM app and listen to us wherever you go with our full slate of Saturday programming. So, again, that launches this Saturday, May 3rd, 7 a.m., the Paul Santo Show. And Paul will be here tomorrow filling in for me. I think they scheduled my appointment with the doctor. They scheduled this procedure just in time. They did it on purpose so that we could have an advanced Paul Santos appearance to promote that. Worked out really well. Good morning to Council President Burgo. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. So I'm ready to jump in and talk about some of the things that went on last week. I know you guys had a busy week of meetings.
Yes. We started off our week with ordinance committee meeting. We finally, well, I guess we didn't have much discussion on our Paid Family Medical Leave Act or expansion of it, something that a number of my colleagues, myself and Council Pereira and Council Abreu, I believe there's 8 or 9 councilors, one of which is no longer on the council. That's how long we've been talking about this. So basically the majority of the council signed on to a motion basically looking at the city's paid parental leave. And it's something that we really should be looking at, especially when we look at a city that we often talk about wanting to make New Bedford a city where people want to live, work, and raise a family. But right now we don't have a policy where people who choose to serve our city can't also provide and help start their family. So obviously our personnel director, we had a change in staffing. One of our previous personnel director retired and left, and then Jose Gouveia started on. So there's a little bit of a transition period, but at this point I was looking or hoping, I guess, that we would have a lot more information and data at this time. So this meeting, we didn't get to discuss a lot about it.
Well, just to take a step back for a second. So for those who are unaware, so this is different than the way that the state handles this. The city has to handle it in a different way.
Yeah, so we don't offer any paid paternal leave. Of course, state offers protections for people where if you have a child, whether you or your spouse, so for men and women, if you're blessed enough to have a child, you have protections. Your job has protections, so you can be out of work, I believe, up to 12 weeks. But obviously for a growing family, especially nowadays where most people are living paycheck to paycheck, to be out of work for 12 weeks without a paycheck, or even just for a 1 week or 2 week period time frame, that can be very detrimental to your household. So for a lot of growing families, they're choosing to not take any time off or very minimal amount of time. So it's something that the council's looking at to see what the cost would be to be able to offer such a benefit, especially when we're talking about how difficult it is for us as a city to attract talent to come work for our city, and also not only attract talent but retain talent in our city. So we're waiting for more data from our personnel director and from other, you know, the insurance companies, and overall just we're hoping by the next meeting, which will be held in May, that we'll have more data to compare to see if we were to offer actual paid paternal leave, how much paid maternal leave, and how much it might actually affect the taxpayers, because obviously that's the framework the city council looks at is, okay, well, how much would this actually cost? Because we obviously that's the framework we're always looking at things, is we don't want to end up, as much as we want to offer this benefit to our employees, we also don't want to affect the taxpayers as well on top of that. So that was one of the important discussions that we talked about in the ordinance committee. The other portion of the ordinance committee was discussing the new overlay districts around Klasky Common. One of the questions that we often get, and we even discussed in committee, was like, well, what is an overlay district? Why do they call it that? And mainly because the main district, which is like, for example, residential A or industrial B or whatever, you know, the case may be in that area, that still what's there. And then this is just an extra district that overlays over it, hence the name. And so there's going to be three separate districts, A, B, and C. And so there's just different parking requirements or different building requirements that could be on top of that. So that didn't proceed because there was some questions regarding the chart, particularly in residential zoning A. There's some questions about the previous chart that we might have adopted during a different overlay district. So we're going to look into that a little further, and that also will be brought up at the next ordinance committee meeting. So,
and these districts are because of the train coming in, the idea is to have an area where people might not be, might not be drivers per se. They would have better access to things, public transportation, and, better use to be able to not bring in more cars to the city as they're coming into the city.
Well, yeah, essentially that's the thought. Well, what I will say is that the city in the Jennifer Carloni, our city planner, she did make it very clear that we have already met the requirements for the MBTA Communities Act. But this is just going above and beyond, essentially, because as we've talked about many times, New Bedford has very limited developable land. And so this is essentially just trying to help developers find even more developable land. And so it's really because our parking requirement right now for a lot of our land is two spaces per unit. And so what this overlay district for a lot of these subcategories, I think it's sub A, it brings down that parking requirement of two down to 0.75. And so that can be a bit controversial. And that was a part of some of the discussion that we had. Because parking in New Bedford is very difficult in certain areas. But to your point that you're bringing up is this is around the new South Coast Rail Station. We're trying to expand, obviously, CERTA. As we know, CERTA has been free for quite some time now. And they continue to extend that free program. And we're trying to extend the bus routes. So as we continue to expand and extend our public transportation routes around these areas, that's the framework around wanting to lower the parking requirements, because we hope that, or I should say the hope is, those individuals that will plan to move or live in these areas will not need to depend on actual vehicles.
And I don't want to belittle the Klasky area, because obviously this is an important fact for them, but I think this is going to become more of an issue when it comes to around the Church Street station, because mm-hmm. as we know, somebody purchased the plaza that Savers is in, and I'm sure they're planning to turn that into something different as they move along. I picture, multi-story apartments with shopping underneath, that kind of setup. And some of the other buildings around there I know are being purchased or on the market. So it'll become even more of an issue over there as there'll be this new development. There's not a lot of developable space, I don't think, over in the Klasky area, but certainly around Church Street, there'd be a lot of it.
Yeah, so, I just think that what I'm concerned about oftentimes, and although I may agree that we need to be a little more flexible with our parking requirements, I think even Director Carloni alluded to this, is it's a bit of the chicken and egg scenario here, is I just don't know if we're at a point where people can't. I think we even had the discussion here on the radio before where, even as much as I promote public transportation, I myself do not utilize public transportation. And even as we know, South Coast Rail just started up and we're having some issues. Lieutenant Governor was just here in New Bedford yesterday. We were having conversations about Kilos. I don't know if I'm...
Kielos.
Yes, I was like, I never pronounced that name right, but the company that is staffing the South Coast Rail. And she was explaining to us how, the governor is not happy and has been arguing with them to make sure that the staffing gets back up to what is needed to provide for our area. So they're working, the Healy-Driscoll administration is working very hard for us to make sure that we get the staffing that's provided and needed. And I'm hoping that we'll get back to what the levels that is required, and I am confident that they will. But it is difficult, obviously, to tell a working class city like New Bedford that, hey, give up your car so we can have better parking requirements and then just rely on public transportation. Because I know for me, I obviously couldn't just rely on public transportation.
I mean, I'll say this. People are telling me kind of behind the scenes, they're like, this all these issues, it's not an MBTA problem, it's a Keolis problem. Mm-hmm. And I'm seeing, you know, now it seems that the MBTA is starting to take a stance on that and saying like, yeah, like, you know, we're being misled too. And now they're fining Keolis for it. So all of these issues, they don't come into play with some of the discussions that you're having about these overlay districts. You're not looking at this and saying, well, you know, rail could be a spectacular failure. I mean, you're making these plans under the assumption that they'll get this under control.
Yeah. So that's exactly right. But at the same time too, it's one of those things as legislators, do we wait and say, okay, well, maybe we should wait with these parking requirements. But then at the same time too, if we stall and say, okay, well, let's wait to discuss these parking requirements until this gets on track, then that means we're stalling potential developers. And we all know that when we're talking about development and building housing, that doesn't happen overnight. So then you're stalling potential units of housing that can take years to build, and funding and what have you. So as much as it's difficult, obviously, to have to decide between, do we make that decision to lower parking requirements, which if obviously public transportation doesn't meet the demand, then now you have a really bad parking requirement, or do you push ahead with the confidence that they will meet the demand, and then now you try to help alleviate some of the housing crisis.
You know what I hate the most about it? And this is probably like the least of the concerns people have, but I hate the fact that it gives an opportunity to all the negative people to say that they were right. You know, all the negative people, I told you it was a bad idea. I told you it wasn't going to work.
Yeah, I was going to say, someone's always going to end up being right, yeah.
But it'll work. It'll work. They'll get through these issues. Why don't we take a break here, and then when we come back, we'll have to go to the news. When we come back from the news, I want to talk to you about what happened with the public safety. Public safety and neighborhoods meeting. And we'll take your calls with the council president, 508-996-0500. We'll be back in just a few moments. All right, we are going to go into the news in just a moment. When we come back on the other side, we'll take more of your phone calls, 508-996-0500. And if you have a question or a comment for Council President Burgo, you can do that. We'll also take your app chat messages and your open line voicemails on the WBSM app as well. But let's go into the news right now and get all the top stories of the day from Mike Roberts.
11 injured during a Canadian attack. President Trump's popularity is at an all-time low, and Generation Z is stressed out.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Two men are in custody after an off-duty cop was shot in Astoria, Larry Kofsky reports.
Police say the suspects were apprehended shortly after the 25-year-old cop was apparently ambushed at around 6:30 a.m. near 43rd Avenue and 21st Street. The New York Post quotes sources as saying the injured officer was taken to the hospital with a graze wound to the leg and is expected to be okay. The cop has not been identified. There's been no word as to a motive for the shooting.
Police in Canada now say 11 people are dead following a car plowing into a crowded street festival in Vancouver. Police Chief Steve Ray says the 30-year-old suspected driver is being held pending charges in the case. Investigators say dozens of people were also seriously injured when a black SUV drove into a packed celebration at a Filipino block party. At a news conference on Sunday, authorities said survivors were taken to 9 different hospitals. Some of them were in critical condition. Prime Minister Mark Carney has offered his condolences and called the attack horrific. A new national poll reveals a significant drop in President Trump's popularity. Less than 100 days into his presidency, the NBC News Stay Tuned poll found 55% of Americans disapprove of how Trump has handled the presidency, while 45% improve. On immigration, one of the strongest issues is the 2024 election. The poll found that just over half disapprove of his policies, while only 49% approve. Meanwhile, the economy proved to be his weakest issue, with only 39% satisfied, 61% voicing their opposition. Overall, 60% of those surveyed said they believe the U.S. is on the wrong track, while 40% say it's on the right one. A large-scale DEA raid resulted in more than 100 arrests at an illegal Colorado Springs nightclub. DEA Special Agent in Charge Jonathan Pullen says undocumented immigrants and active duty service members were among those detained. Gen Z struggling financially, and it's stressing them out. A Harvard study found that over 50% of Gen Zers are struggling to stay afloat financially. The financial insecurity among Gen Z is severe for women, Hispanics, and those without a college degree. Most Gen Z survey participants reveal they are anxious about their finances. President Trump says he's disappointed with Russia as he has urged Vladimir Putin to sign a deal to end the war in Ukraine. Trump told reporters Sunday he wants the Russian leader to, quote, stop shooting, sit down, and sign a deal to end the fighting. Adding that he was disappointed missiles were flying, the frustration comes as Russia launched its deadliest attack on Kyiv in almost a year last week, killing at least 9 people and injuring over 70 in missile and drone strikes. Police are seeking the public's help in identifying a young man found floating near a Long Island dock earlier this month. His death now ruled a homicide.
Nassau County Police still don't know who he is or his age. They're estimating between 15 years old and 20. His body found floating April 8th near Reynolds Channel in Island Park. The medical examiner has ruled that the young man had been beaten and stabbed to death. Police have posted flyers describing him as black or Hispanic, about 5'4 and 130 pounds, wearing black cargo pants and a beige T-shirt. I'm Sarah Lee Kessler.
A college education does not equal high pay in the working world, especially for students in the arts. A new report from the Federal Reserve Bank of New York found that graduates who major in education, social work, or the arts usually earn the lowest median income 5 years after finishing school. The report included only full-time workers with a bachelor's degree and excludes those still enrolled.
WBSM Sports.
It was the Red Sox over the Guardians 13-3 yesterday. Sox are in Toronto tomorrow at 7:07. Celtics up 3-1 over the Magic. They won game 4, 107-98 last night. Game 5 happens tomorrow at the Garden.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
Mostly sunny today, 70, clear tonight, 50, partly sunny tomorrow, 66, a few clouds on Wednesday, 71, cooler with sun on Thursday, 60, and rain for Friday and Saturday. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Mike Roberts. WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content with the WBSM app.
And welcome back in. We're going to get right back into the discussion with Council President Burgo in a second, but I just want to let everybody know it's the Friday show that we're giving away tickets this week for the Boston Calling Festival. So there's 3 days of shows, Friday, Saturday, Sunday of Memorial Day weekend at Harvard. And we're giving away tickets this week for Friday. And that is headlined by Luke Combs, Megan Maroney, Sheryl Crow, T-Pain, TLC. Those are just some of the acts that'll be performing on Friday, May 23rd at Harvard. So we're going to have tickets. We'll have it up there later on today for you to enter to win. So I'm sure, you know, there's something for everybody on these lineups. Have you ever been to one of these festivals, Council President Burgo?
I have not yet.
No. They're a lot of fun because you get to hear some of your favorites, but you also get exposed to new artists that you've never heard before. So,
oh, exciting.
Works out pretty well. I became a Bleachers fan by seeing them at Boston Calling a couple of years ago.
Ooh, should be exciting.
So anyway, let's get back into the discussion of the important stuff, the things that went on with the council last week. I know last week there was also a meeting of the Public Safeties and Neighborhoods Committee, and that was one that Councilor Gomes was asking for downtown business stakeholders to come down and have their voices heard. And from my understanding, there were some folks that did show up.
Yeah, there was a large number of people that joined all of us. As I mentioned before, Councilor Gomes actually went and hand-delivered a number of these invitations to the business owners in the downtown area. And, you know, they did show up. Some actually, at first, I think were a little shy. And so little by little, they kind of, you know, went up to the podium and shared some of their frustration. Some of them, would put the blame on the city, saying, hey, we need more police patrols. We need more trash pickup. We need to lower the parking meter toll in situation like that. But that there were even some business owners that explained, hey, like, some of it's on us. Like, we need to do more. We need to work together. But it's something that they said we need, you know, to have this discussion as a team, essentially. So it's really, I think it was a really exciting night overall, because you really got to see the community show up. No matter what side you were on, whether city, business, even, you know, as we know how contested it got around the discussion around the business improvement district, you saw individuals in that room that were on either side of that discussion, whether you were pro-bid or anti-bid. There were people in that room that came together that they all agree for their businesses that we need to do more for economic development in New Bedford, and then also for public safety. I know recently, obviously, that crime data report has come out to show that crime is down in New Bedford. But, you know, the discussions that we keep having about that is it might be down on paper, but it doesn't take away the feeling that crime is up in New Bedford, that people don't feel any safer than they did last year or last month or last week.
And it might be down, but that doesn't mean that in that particular area that it isn't on an increase.
Correct. And, you know, for me, I think, I'm not alone in getting the emails or complaints from people who even live in the downtown area about, for example, trash. And this is one of the challenges and one of the things that came out of the discussions during that public safety meeting was trash pickup for these businesses. They have very limited space to put their trash. A lot of times the businesses, to avoid fines, and also just because they do care about the neighborhood, they don't want their trash to be flying around the area. So some businesses, trying to mitigate the situation, will bring their barrels inside. Now imagine trying to bring nasty garbage into your food establishment or whatever business that you kind of have. So they're trying to, you know, work in that regard, because, you know, they have food service over the weekend, but then trash pickup doesn't happen until the weekday. So that was one of the motions that Councilor Morad had put forward, a related motion to have our Department of Facilities and Fleet Management's DFFM to find out kind of like what the cost effects would be if we did have weekend pickup.
Now, are they city paid trash service, or are they private contractor service?
It would be through Capital Waste, our service that we have, through technically private, but it's through the city. So it's your question's asking if the business...
Do the business owners pay for this, or is it city?
It's through the city service,
okay,
yes.
Because of where it's located?
Correct, yeah. So in that regard, it would cost the city more money to have that service. And so we wanted to see how much more would it cost to have Capital Waste come through and pick this up during the weekend. And so, because even, I believe, Councilor Gomes was mentioning that previously there used to be nighttime pickups, and that stopped. So we might not go as far as doing nighttime pickups every night, because that might be an extra, depending on how much that might cost. But if we could at least do weekend pickups, because we know that these establishments downtown in particular, but not just downtown, I think that was just the discussion that we had particularly that night. But I think it sparked the discussion for some of my other colleagues, particularly ward counselors in the North End and the South End.
Right.
And that's really the related motion, I think, actually ended up expanding beyond the downtown. It was like weekend pickup for all businesses that have the same issue. Why aren't we doing more trash pickup? And we hear this everywhere. Even I think we had this, again, to go back to the MBTA, we had this discussion when they first opened. There was all that trash that was piled up over the weekend because they didn't pick it up until the next day. So, unfortunately, trash piles up. And if no one's there to empty it, people are just going to keep, you know, almost like a Tetris game of how can I
balance? Squeeze one more can in. Yeah.
So it just... that was one of the related motions came out. Another related motion that came out of that meeting was from Councillor Derek Baptiste from Ward 4, looking to have a roundtable discussion. Because one of the other pieces that a lot of the business owners there and community leaders that showed up to speak, they were frustrated that the mayor was not there. One of the pieces that I think I should say to the mayor's credit is that the mayor can't go unless he's invited. And so this was Councillor Baptiste's way of inviting the mayor. So he invited the mayor to a round tables discussion at the library. So hopefully the mayor does show up. We'll see. So inviting the mayor, the city council, I believe the police chief and others, to really bring everyone together to say, how can we help? Because Assistant Deputy Chief Derek Belong was there and kind of took the podium impromptu, which I really appreciate that. He wasn't meant to be there to answer questions, but he, you know, took the podium and really stepped in for our police department at that time because a lot of the questions that they had were around public safety. And one of the main concerns was around the fact that the downtown Pleasant Street police station was closed, and a lot of the shop owners have noticed an increase in I use the word crime since the closure of that police station.
Certainly incidents, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and I think mainly because they were promised or they were told, and I would say even for myself, that even with the closure of the downtown Pleasant Street station, there would be increased patrols so that they wouldn't feel any difference. And that area you would never even know that it was closed down because there would be so much traffic of police patrol that it'd be fine. But then I think what also was mentioned was that even with the patrols, you know, it's fine because when you see that cop, you're going to be fine. But then as soon as the cop turns the corner, then it's like, oh, okay, well, they're gone now. So trying to work with our police and others, but as we know, we're still very short staffed when it comes to our police force. So looking at other ways to, again, I think the other concern that people had too was around our unhoused population that have very limited resources when we're talking about day programs for them to go to for resources for whether or not applying for jobs or looking for housing and other options like that. So what do they do instead? They hang out outside of our library, which is a public space. They hang out outside of the bus station. They hang outside of the post office. And so a lot of times fights happen. And, you know, I think also sometimes people are drinking and, you know, bad things end up happening when people start drinking out in the public. So there were a lot of stories about that. And I guess there was an incident outside of the community health center where someone was stabbed. There was another incident outside of the library where someone was stabbed. I don't know if that was reported. So this is, again, going back to the crime report where they talk about crime was down, but reported crime was down. So this is, again, I think a great discussion. I want to commend my colleague, Councillor Gomes, for getting us in there. Again, hand delivering a lot of these invitations out there and bringing in the community to show them that we are listening. And as he echoed a lot during that meeting was, as much as us 11 councillors want to be able to be a part of this solution, unless we bring in that corner office, the mayor's office, we're, you know, very limited in that regard. So we're hoping that due to Councillor Baptiste's related motion and also Councillor Morad's related motion, we can really have some great progress, not just with the downtown businesses, but with all the businesses throughout our entire city.
Let's take a call here before we have to take a break. Good Wrong button. There we go. You're on with Council President Burgo. Hello.
Good morning.
How's it going?
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure if it was my turn. Okay, so there's a couple of things here I got to tell you. First, I left my phone, and I was waiting for my friend to wake up. I left my phone, and I had to run over there this morning and get it, and I made it back just in time before you leave, Mr. Burgle. So I have two things, Kim. One, I have pictures of the train track. I don't know who to call. Do you know, like, the train tracks in Rochester? Before the, you know that Adrian's package store and convenience store there at the four-way? Okay, so before that, between that and where the Wareham-Rochester line is, this is considered Rochester. You know how like that goes from Wareham-Rochester, then Wareham-Rochester?
Scotty, I don't mean to be short, but I do have a break I got to take, so I'm just going to...
Wait, I'll hold on.
No. Just get right to it.
The railroad track, I have pictures of it. It's all sunken in. It's like practically a hole. All the rubber's gone and everything.
Mass
and
Coastal.
I've got a bunch of pictures.
That's who you should reach out to. Mass Coastal Railroad. Because that's
Mass Coastal.
Mass Coastal. Okay, that's the freight train that goes over those tracks.
Okay. Oh, my God. It's so bad looking. And my second question was for you, Mr. Burgo. Good morning.
Good morning.
I wanted to ask you, with the bus, like, I have to go into Boston soon because my brother's having a totally amputated. I won't get into it now. My stepbrother. But I can't. So... I'm just curious, when the bus brings us home, is it dropping me off because I live by the Church Street? Is the bus going to stop there because that's where I would park my car and, you know, get on the train? Or is this bus going to take me downtown? And then some cab companies don't even work after certain hours in New Bedford anymore. So
I think
I'm just curious.
Are you referring to the shuttle services they're offering for the MBTA,
yes,
South Coast Rail train? Yeah, so it goes to the two different stops, I believe, for the... So if you have the Church Street stop, and then they would also go to the downtown New Bedford stop, too, at the Whale's Tooth location.
Yeah, that's good to know, because I was, like, really worried. I said, what if I get dropped out now and my car isn't there? No taxis. How would I get home? So that's good to know.
But I believe that's just on the weekend.
Right. You're taking the train, you're saying, and then you're afraid if you have to come back on the bus, or you're just taking the
bus? I'm afraid if I come back on the bus, that it's the bus is only going to do... You know, it might just take you right straight down.
They stop at all the stops once they leave. So what they're doing now is they're doing an express. Many of the buses are an express, so it'll express you back to New Bedford. So it'll stop at both New Bedford stations, but it won't stop in Freetown. It won't stop in Taunton, that kind of thing.
Right. Oh, that's good, because, I was worried, Tim. What if they take me downtown and my car's way up on...
I'm sure if that was the case, they'd still bring you back to Church Street. They got to go back to Boston anyway.
Yeah. All right.
Wonderful.
So just everybody out there that's going over that Rochester railroad track, be careful. It's when you're heading home into, it's on the side when you're heading home into New Bedford. I couldn't believe it, but I got some good pictures, and luckily, no cars were coming.
Yeah, Mass Coastal will definitely be the people to reach out to for that. They're the ones that would maintain those tracks.
All right, that's fantastic. All right, thank God for podcasts, because I'll be listening.
Great to hear from you, Scotty.
Have a good day.
All right, you guys have a wonderful day.
Take care.
All right, I got to take a break. I was just trying to rush along there to get to the question, because we only had limited time. I got to take a break right here. When we come back, we will take any calls that want to come in, 508-996-0500. In the time that we have left with Council President Burgo, we will be right back. All right, well, we are with Council President Shane Burgo, and there was a neighborhood meeting coming up that you want to make sure that everybody's aware of.
Yes. So this week, the only neighborhood group meeting is this Tuesday, April 29th at 6 p.m. It's the Ward 1 neighborhood group at Pulaski School, which is run by our Ward 1 counselor, Leo Choquette. So again, that's this Tuesday, April 29th at 6 p.m. And that's at Pulaski School in the North End.
And those are always well attended.
Yes.
And but that, just because it's the Ward 1 neighborhood meeting, sometimes they tackle things that are kind of citywide as well.
Yeah, which is been pretty great. Usually has speakers. I don't know this week who he has coming out, but I'm sure if you look at his Facebook or the Ward 1 Neighbor Group, he'll have listed who he has attending this week.
And in just a couple minutes here before we take our last break, there was a council meeting. We can get more into it next week because there won't be any meetings before next week. This was a meeting when the preliminary election date came up.
Yeah. Again. So the state, the Secretary of the Commonwealth's office had essentially asked us or asked the Election Commission and also, I guess, the mayor's office to ask the council to reconsider changing the preliminary election date. Again, essentially to recap for those that don't understand why they're asking that is because New Bedford, now that we are participating fully in vote by mail, we've been participating in vote by mail since 2021. When we first offered it in 2021, it wasn't as popular. Only, I believe it was like 377 people participated in it. Then in 2023, our next municipal election after that, it was very popular. Over 1,000 people participated in it. So the election commissioner then is, you know, looking at the trajectory of it, figured that now in this next municipal election, it's going to go even higher. So because of that, there's a smaller window of time to process those mail-in ballots. And so the Secretary of the Commonwealth's office does not believe that we would have enough time to send out ballots and get them back in time for the election. And that's why a lot of municipalities, not just New Bedford, but Boston, Lowell, everywhere that offers vote by mail, has moved their preliminary election date to September 16th. Or
some even earlier.
Yes, to offer their voters more time to access that vote by mail. Unfortunately, the council opted not to. And I know we don't have a lot of time to discuss that, but obviously I was disappointed. It was the first time, I think, in my council presidency where I came down from the dais to speak on that. But I guess we'll have to see what ends up happening with our vote by mail in New Bedford. But it was very unfortunate.
Well, we'll definitely talk more about that next week. Let me get this last break in, and we'll be right back to wrap things up with Council President Burgo. All right, that's about going to do it for this week. Council President Burgo, thank you for coming in. We will talk with you next week. Any big plans for yourself this week?
Just a lot of rest, I hope. You know, this past weekend, we had a lot of events. You know, I know we're up against the clock, but, you know, Councilor Carney was able to, during the school vacation week, attend New Bedford Public Schools Acceleration Learning Week. Union Baptist Church celebrated their 130th anniversary. The local 841 Firefighter Union had their autism awareness. The South End Youth Athletic Association started opening day on Sunday. And then we had our New Bedford Democratic Caucus yesterday. There was just so many different events. We had Earth Day last week, and we had